The Death of Cleopatra. Again, we've seen all kinds of movies with Cleopatra dying and the poison snake. Well, we'll see how that actually comes about. Now, after letting Cleopatra deal with the embalming of Mark Antony and then setting up the appropriate funeral rites, Octavian had Cleopatra move to the palace. But Cleopatra is an absolute mess. The loss of Antony and her capture had just shattered her spirit. And she now becomes ill. Now, the story goes that Octavian wanted to keep Cleopatra alive to be used in a triumph in Rome. That, however, was probably something that Cleopatra had no intention of doing, and actually told her attendants as much. However, the question is, did Octavian really want Cleopatra to appear in his triumph? And the answer is, quite frankly, no. And the reason is simple. 16 years before this event, Cleopatra's half-sister, Arsinoe, was displayed in one of Julius Caesar's triumphs. And the crowd felt such sympathy for her that they had to deal with her differently rather than just kill her. And Octavian had made this, you know, he really whipped up this propaganda machine depicting, you know, Cleopatra as the Egyptian whore, as the witch who bewitches Roman men, and pretty much the devil incarnate. And she had been to Rome once before and was very popular and very, very happily received. Of course, she threw lots of money. If Cleopatra was in chains and paraded in a triumph, all sorts of things could happen. First of all, the crowd could become sympathetic to Cleopatra as they had Arsinoe. And it could also be interpreted by putting her in that type of situation as an insult to the memory of Julius Caesar. So then you have, what does Octavian do with her after the triumph? Executing a woman would kind of hurt Octavian's reputation. But if he let her go, good heavens, she could stir up trouble in the East again in any number of places. For that matter, she could make it even worse by simply going and sitting on a little island and writing her memoirs of what's going on, which could make him look bad and everybody else and cause all kinds of problems. So to some extent, the best thing that could happen as far as Octavian was concerned was that she would just die. But of course, it had to be in a manner that would, you know, leave Octavian above suspicion that he wasn't responsible. So playing up the part about the triumph certainly made it look like the last thing he wanted to do was to have her die. But that's for later consumption. At any rate, Octavian arranged for Cleopatra to be visited in the palace by Publius Cornelius Dolabella, who was a noble member of Octavian's entourage. Now, Octavian knew that Cleopatra and Dolabella had been on friendly terms. And the whole deal, it's all set up. Dolabella's job was to tell Cleopatra that Octavian would soon be leaving for Rome, and that he was also instructed to pretend that Cleopatra and her children would also be sent to Rome, so she could then figure that they would all be chained and all taken in this triumph. And they had about 3 days before they left. Well, Cleopatra asked permission to pour a last libation at Antony's tomb. And this is really cool. You see this when you go to like Marathon in Greece or Thermopylae. You will see on the tombs of the soldiers bottles of wine and champagne. And what you do is you take wine or whatever, and you pour it on the ground to provide a drink for the deceased. Well, this was supposed to be a final tribute before her journey. Reality is, it's a final tribute before she joins him. Octavian then called Epicondrius, who was Cleopatra's guard, and in simple terms told him that if he learned of any suicide plans, pay no attention to it. Around August the 12th, 30 BC, Cleopatra asked her guard to take a sealed letter to Octavian. The letter requested that Cleopatra wanted to be buried beside Mark Antony if she should die. Octavian figured the letter meant that Cleopatra was already dead. So a detachment of his men were sent to the palace, and they found Cleopatra dead, dressed in her royal robes, lying on a golden couch, pretty much as she appears in the Cleopatra with Elizabeth Taylor. Iris was lying at her feet, dying. Charmian was also just about dead, but was adjusting the crown on Cleopatra's brow. And one of Octavian's men cried out, quote, "Charmian, what was this right?" And her reply was, and these are also her last words, "It is entirely right and fitting for a queen descended from so many kings," end of quote, plunk, down on the floor. Okay, Cleopatra was poisoned. But how? Okay, now Olympus, Cleopatra's doctor, knew all about poisons of all kinds. Quite frankly, the Egyptians are considered some of the finest poisoners in all the ancient world. And the Alexandrian School of Medicine was not only the greatest, one of the greatest medical schools, but also one of the greatest sources of poison. You know, Mithridates the IV had become an expert at poisons and antidotes and stuff like that. So there's a lot of ways to go, okay? And the fact is, her body didn't blow up, and it didn't get... There's all kinds of... Various poisons will do different things to the body. Even snake bites will do different things to the body. Cobra bite will make you swell up and do all kinds of stuff. So there are a variety of versions here. Now, Plutarch has actually three different choices. Plutarch talks about how a poison asp was carried in a basket of figs and then bit her on the arm. That's the one you almost always see in the movies. Or the asp was in a jar and Cleopatra pricked it with a spindle, which ticked it off and then it bit her. Or that she carried poison in a hollow comb that she kept in her hair, which is an interesting idea, almost like a spy in the Cold War. Then Galen, one of the great doctors, many years later, says Cleopatra, this is kind of interesting, Cleopatra bit herself and then poured snake venom into the wound. Strabo says the poison was either a snake bite or it was a poison ointment. Dio Cassius, he finally gets to the crux of the matter. The report was that the only marks on her body were two or three small pricks on her arm. Now, asps have very, very small fangs. So that's a real possibility. But he brings up the idea that she could have scratched herself with a poison hairpin. So it's kind of wild. And there was even some discussion at one point that she tried out different types of poisons on criminals to see which one was the best. But there's no truth to that. Well, the obvious story is that the snake bite is going to win. They didn't find a snake in the room. There were some people who claimed they saw snake tracks outside the little things in the sand. But, it's one of those things. Anyway, Octavian, when he had his triumph, okay, we can't have Cleopatra there, obviously, but there was a statue of Cleopatra with a snake clinging to her in his triumph, which is kind of cool. Of course, Cleopatra was always appears as Isis, and Isis always has snakes with her as well. Now, Octavian was kind of nice about the whole deal. He allowed Cleopatra to be buried with royal honors beside Mark Antony. He then gave orders to complete the construction of Cleopatra's mausoleum. And then he had Iris and Charmian also buried with Cleopatra. So he does a little nice thing here. Cleopatra's out of the way. He's got his money. Things are pretty stable here, but now there are still a lot of people to deal with. You've got all the children of Antony. Not just Antony and Cleopatra, but Antony and Octavian's sister, and two other wives that he had. So what is going to happen to them?